100 Mile Per Hour Coat, 1920, read for you by Leanne Shapton. After the horrors of the war, when 10 million soldiers had fallen and several hundred thousand had returned home wounded, it was high time people started living again. Harda society might have tried to send women back to where they'd been fetched from in 1914, subservience, in other words. It encountered resistance from the young, city-dwelling generation in particular. Thanks to the war's high death toll, many of these women would never find a husband anyway, and the city offered them new opportunities to earn their own living as stenographers, switchboard operators, as sales assistants in the booming department stores. Why, then, force yourself into an outdated role? Hadn't women only just cast off their corsets? Why give up freedom for supposed security, which, as everyone now knew, could anyway be bombed to bits at any moment? They felt an urge to escape the stasis of family life, to dance, love, celebrate, to lose themselves in the rapture of the night, to live then, full throttle. This pretty coat, which was designed in 1923 by Dornac, the Parisian fashion house on Rue de la Paix, embodies this new attitude to life à la perfection. It's short, shorter than coats had previously been, and, according to the standards of the time, unfeminine, well-nigh androgynous in its cut, and boasting wide, baggy sleeves. The rough fabric and high collar tell us it's no coat for sitting around on the terrace waiting for something, but a coat for moving in, outdoors, maybe even out of town. Above all, though, it has a wonderful name, the manteau cent à l'heure, or 100-mile-per-hour coat, which points to a new passe-temps for ladies. For the first time, it wasn't just the odd woman, but many of them who had started driving. They'd left their bicycles, along with their long braids, long skirts, and subservient manners, back in the early 1900s. Now they were modern, and what modernity meant was short hair, funny hats, androgynous tailoring, red lipstick, a cigarette in the corner of your mouth, and above all, speed, speed, speed. In Scotland, Dorothée Pullinger had joined her car-building father in the family business after proving herself during the war, and in 1921 as one of the first ever female engineers. She designed the very first car for women, the Galloway motor car. It combined some of her father's designs with the shape of the Fiat 501. A magazine described this latest model to join the brand, which under Dorothée's management now shared the same colors as the suffragettes, green, purple, and white, as a car built by ladies for those of their own sex. Just like most things back then, and not a few today, cars were not generally designed for women's bodies. In early models, female drivers often couldn't reach either the steering wheel or pedals, or at least not both at the same time. But all that was at an end now. From now on, driving was women's prerogative too, or as Françoise Sagan would say some 50 years later, "I'd rather cry in a Jaguar than on a bus." Eileen Gray would probably have said something similar. In the 1920s, she famously and scandalously rattled around Saint-Germain-des-Prés with her lover's panther in the backseat of her convertible, leaving in her wake much oohing and aahing, much staring and shaking of heads, especially on the part of gentlemen, to whom women's new love for cars didn't make any sense whatsoever. Maybe the rumor that women are too stupid to drive stems from this time. At least, the Berlin-based journalist Ruth Lansdorf-York reported in an article entitled "The Girl with Low Horsepower" that a man would often look a proper Charlie when a woman sped past him in her car. Best to leave them with their illusions and act at least a little bit helpless, then laid all motor gallantly to the rescue, and you could race off hell for leather down your allée of men with much whooping and shouting. This was how she described it in her column for Die Dame magazine, concluding, "A feminine car needs to look as appetizing as a baby." Speaking of Die Dame, an iconic image of the new woman, one showing just such a coat as this, was painted for this very magazine, the famous Tamara in a green Bugatti by Polish painter Tamara Dalempicka, also known as Autoportrait. The story goes that one of the magazine's editors complimented Tamara on looking so cool sitting in her car that she should definitely paint herself in it for the front cover. Lempicka clearly thought the idea was a great one, her car not so much, so she painted herself not in her yellow Renault, but in a green Bugatti. We can only see a section of it in the picture, as though she's speeding past too quickly to be captured. But at her neck is the collar of a coat similar to this one. The eyes looking out of the picture are challenging and self-confident. And to this day, her painting is emblematic of the 1920s woman, sitting at the wheel of her own life. Until that point, it was something only a man could have done. A man? No, a garçon. The new woman was young. Not for nothing were the many women now to be found strolling arm in arm down the boulevards by day, or dancing the Charleston through the clubs of Paris by night, given a new moniker by the French novelist Victor Marguerite, Garçon. When he wrote his novel La Garçon, The Bachelor Girl, in 1922, he christened this new generation of women and also caused a national scandal. His National Order of the Legion of Honor was removed, and he was accused of sullying French women with his portrayal. Even feminists were outraged, judging him to have painted the emancipated woman as a sex-obsessed junkie. Unlike their English and German counterparts, French women still didn't have the vote and were thus concerned about their reputation. Indeed, the novel is more amusing than excellent, but that hardly matters. Its title and the attitude to life it conveyed were exactly on point. After all, the new woman didn't just want to behave like a garçon, she wanted to look like one too. Josephine Baker, who drove a Delage D6, once said that when she arrived in Paris, women suddenly lost weight, cut their hair short, and sped off in their chic new rides, cruising fast in their 100-mile-per-hour coats.